Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. James Green's Death in the Haymarket is a narrative history of the Haymarket Affair of 1886, one of the most consequential episodes in American labor history. The book reconstructs the rise of the Chicago labor movement, the campaign for the 8-hour day, the bombing at Haymarket Square, and the explosive political reaction that followed. Rather than treating the event as an isolated riot, Green places it within the larger conflict between workers, employers, police, politicians, and anarchist activists in the Gilded Age. The book also examines the controversial trial of the accused anarchists and the long aftermath for organized labor, public opinion, and civil liberties. Written for a general audience, but grounded in historical scholarship, it combines clear explanation with dramatic narrative to show how Haymarket became a symbol of class conflict, state repression, and the fragility of reform movements in industrial America. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the Chicago labor struggle for the 8-hour day built the setting for Haymarket. One of the book's central concerns is the labor upsurge that preceded the bombing. Green shows that Haymarket was not simply a sudden outburst of violence, but the product of years of organizing by workers facing long hours, dangerous conditions, and weak political representation. The 8-hour day campaign gave the labor movement a concrete demand that could unite many kinds of workers, from skilled tradesmen to more precarious laborers. By tracing meetings, strikes, and speeches in Chicago, Green explains how reformist labor politics and more radical currents grew side by side. This matters because it places the Haymarket Affair inside a broader movement for industrial democracy, rather than reducing it to anarchist extremism. The book uses the struggle over working time to show how economic pressure, police force, and political frustration converged in a city that had become a national center of labor unrest. Secondly, the bombing and the collapse of a peaceful protest into national crisis. Green carefully reconstructs the Haymarket rally itself, emphasizing that it began as a peaceful meeting protesting police violence during labor unrest. The turning point came when a bomb was thrown after police moved to disperse the crowd, killing officers and setting off chaotic gunfire. The book's value lies in showing both the uncertainty of the moment and the speed with which public meaning hardened around it. Because the bomber was never conclusively identified, the event became less a solved criminal case than a political symbol, onto which many Americans projected fears about disorder, foreign radicalism, and labor militancy. Green treats the bomb not only as a weapon, but as a historical rupture that transformed a local confrontation into a national scandal. This approach helps explain why Haymarket became so influential the immediate violence mattered. But even more important was the social panic that followed and the way authorities and newspapers framed the event for a wider public. Thirdly, the trial of the anarchists and the problem of justice under pressure. A major portion of the book focuses on the prosecution and conviction of 8 anarchists, including prominent labor figures such as August Spies and Albert Parsons. Green examines how the trial was shaped by weak evidence, broad theories of conspiracy, and a political climate already hostile to radicals, rather than presenting the defendants as simple martyrs or the state as a neutral arbiter. He shows how legal process can be distorted when public fear demands punishment more than proof. The trial becomes a lens for understanding the limits of civil justice in moments of crisis. Green's account highlights how guilt was assigned not only for what the defendants did, but for what they allegedly believed and inspired. That makes the book especially important for readers interested in due process, political repression, and the history of free speech. The execution of 4 men, the suicide of another, and the later pardons underline the long moral shadow cast by the case. Fourthly, the backlash against radicals and the weakening of the labor movement. Green argues that Haymarket had consequences far beyond the courtroom. In the aftermath, public opinion turned sharply against anarchists, immigrants, and labor organizers, creating a climate of suspicion that damaged the broader labor movement. The Knights of Labor, then the largest union in the United States, suffered heavily from association with the bombing, even though the evidence linking it to the attack was thin. This is one of the book's most important historical claims. State violence and media hysteria did not just punish individuals. They reshaped the organizational future of American labor. By tracing the decline in labor momentum after Haymarket, Green shows how a single event can alter the balance of power between workers and employers for years. The book also clarifies why the affair mattered nationally, not just in Chicago. It helped define the boundaries of acceptable labor politics and narrowed space for radical reform at a crucial moment in industrial capitalism's growth. Lastly, why Haymarket became a lasting symbol of May Day, labor memory, and American class conflict. Beyond immediate politics, the book explores how Haymarket entered historical memory. Green connects the affair to the emergence of May Day as an international workers' holiday and to the larger tradition of commemorating labor struggle through public ritual. The book suggests that Haymarket became a foundational story because it condensed many of the tensions of the Gilded Age into one event: industrial expansion, immigration, police power, class hostility, and the search for reform. Its lasting importance lies in the way it changed both labor organizing and the language used to discuss dissent in the United States. Green's narrative helps readers see that memory itself is political. The story Americans tell about Haymarket shapes how they understand unions, protest, and the legitimacy of radical ideas. This gives the book a wider significance than a single historical episode, because it explains how a local tragedy became part of the nation's long debate over rights, justice, and democracy. In conclusion, Death in the Haymarket is best suited for readers interested in American labor history, the Gilded Age, legal history, and the origins of modern protest politics. It will be especially valuable to readers who want a book that is scholarly but readable, with enough historical detail to illuminate the event without losing the human and political stakes. Green's main strength is that he treats Haymarket not as a sensational bombing alone, but as a turning point in the relationship between labor and authority, linking workplace Sangharsh, public fear, courtroom politics, and historical memory into one coherent account. Compared with many books in the same field, it stands out for its balance of narrative drive and historical interpretation. It offers a fuller picture than a narrow crime story and a more accessible reading experience than a purely academic monograph. For anyone trying to understand how labor struggles shaped modern American politics, this book provides a clear and durable account of why Haymarket still matters. If you would like to support James Green, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.